In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean to be Wheatley United Reformed Church in 2018? I'm going to examine each of those words one by one. But first, I'm pleased to bring you greetings from my own church, Farnham United Reformed Church, where I serve. We're very much in the gin and tonic belt. At a school fete the other day, a little boy, not mine, came up and asked for some help because he'd lost his au pair. We are the sort of town in Farnham where I managed to hear a story about a chap called Fred who had retired and taken a job at home base. He couldn't seem to get to work on time. Every day he was 10, 15, 20 minutes late. But when he showed up, he was a very good worker. He was tidy, clean-shaven, sharp-minded. He liked the other staff and the customers, and he was a real credit to them. But the boss got fed up with him being late. "Fred," he said, "I have to tell you, I like your work ethic once you're here, but your being late is just too tiresome. Now, I know that you retired from the armed forces. What did they say when you came in late there?" And they said, "Good morning, General. How would you like your coffee?" But my point this morning is that you are Wheatley. You are not Farnham. What makes sense in my context in Farnham may make no sense at all here in your context. This is Wheatley, not Oxford, not Tame, not anywhere else. You know who in your community are the car workers, the university researchers, the health professionals, the teachers. You will know what it is that makes this place what it is. Our gospel reading talked about the different parts of the vine being connected together. This church is set in a community, and that matters. The vine does not just mean that we are connected to God and to each other, but it means that we are connected to the community in which we are set. For all that you know Wheatley, for all that you love it, for all that it frustrates you, it is the community in which this church is set. If what happens here could happen anywhere, perhaps we have missed a trick. Being part of the vine is not just being linked to, but being intimately connected in a loving relationship with the community beyond these walls. If this church were to close, would people notice? Would it make a difference in this community? This is what it means to be Wheatley. What does it mean to be united? Well, just as the vine in John's Gospel reminds us that we are intimately connected in a living relationship with the community, likewise, we are intimately connected with other Christians. This is part of our DNA in the United Reformed Church. There are so many different churches around now, not just Anglican and Roman Catholic, but all the community churches. And the point of United is not that we are trying to blend everything into some homogeneous thing that pleases nobody. But being united is to recognise that we are all on the same side, God's side. In a world which is increasingly cynical and apathetic and ignorant in equal measure. Surely if united means anything, it means trying to build up what unites Christians. Because we are sisters and brothers, including the ones we don't like. Part of the vine, intimately connected in Christ. I think that is what united means. What does reformed mean? Well, we come from a particular tradition. You may have heard it said that all Calvinists work for God, but only in an advisory capacity. Our readings from the Old Testament and the Epistle had something to illuminate what reformed might mean for us. Isaiah spoke about God's word, and I think being reformed means believing that God speaks to us through the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean it is always clear. It doesn't mean that every word makes sense for us, and it certainly doesn't mean every word is a literal truth. But what it does mean is that within the Bible, the sacred stories of our tradition, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can learn something about God and about life. And that surely counts for something in a world which seems to be subjective and in flux. And in his letter to the Christians in Rome, Paul talked about God's grace. As always, Paul's style is somewhat complex. He was certainly one of nature's deep thinkers. And what he's reminding the Christians in Rome, and through them reminding us, is that all that matters is God's grace. We cannot, we do not earn God's favour or God's forgiveness. Nothing we can do changes that. We can enjoy God's love and God's forgiveness simply because God is love, overflowing to us, not through any merit or right or claim, but simply because God is love. Reformed can mean a great many things, but two of those things are that in the sacred stories of our tradition, we can find truths about God and about life, and we can be reminded that God is love without limit or measure, freely given with no small print, no strings attached. What does church mean? Well, our ancestors would never have dreamed of using the word church about a building. Heaven forbid the very idea. They would always, always refer to such things as a chapel or the meeting house. Never the church, because the church is people, nothing to do with a building. Having said that, it's equally important to say that church isn't about being a social club for the members, because we exist for the benefit of those who are not members. Likewise, church isn't just about social work, helping people in need, working for peace and justice in the world. Those are all important things that flow from being a Christian, and we wouldn't be proper Christians if we weren't interested in them. But the church isn't just about that. It's about being the body of Christ, worshipping, praying, sharing in the sacraments, helping each other to learn and grow as Christians, engaging with the world to make it a better place, flowing from that. Now, I don't know if any of you ever enjoy a trip to a National Trust property. I particularly like to be able to go to the ones where they tell you about the people who lived in the house. It's much more interesting than posh furniture and paintings to a Philistine like me. Now imagine that you've gone out for the day to a National Trust property with wonderfully landscaped gardens and parkland. And as you walk, you come across a folly, perhaps a carefully constructed tower or ruin, designed to look very good but serving no useful purpose. Then you go inside the main house and you find a museum dedicated to the Victorian age. And then you set off on the way home and you pass a sign that says factory and outlet, general public welcome. You go in and you find several small businesses in the converted mill. Indeed, there seems to be some specialist weaving going on. You can see signs of people at work, and there's even a shop where you can buy the clothes and the pottery. Is the church a folly, looking very fine, but of no real practical use? Is it a museum, very strong on nostalgia, but not always having much to say about the present and the future? Or is the church a workshop, turning out what people need? Another way of looking at this is if I tell you the story of a farm. It was a large farm. A great deal of wheat had been planted and there was going to be a bumper harvest. 12 men arrive to work at the farm. And every morning they arrive in the farmyard, they put the kettle on, they gather a circle of chairs in the largest of the barns and they begin to talk. They study bigger and better methods of agriculture. They polish the combine, they grease the tractors, and then it's time to go home. The next day they come back, they study bigger and better methods of agriculture. They polish the combine, they grease the tractors, and then they go home. And they do this week in, week out, year in, year out. But nobody actually goes out into the fields to gather in the harvest. That's not an argument against farm buildings or machinery, but it is an indictment of those who don't use them properly. We're challenged to be the body of Christ, to be a community that nurtures one another in faith, that helps one another to learn and grow as Christians. What does 2018 mean? Well, it is not the 1790s when James Hinton and others came preaching in the villages from New Road Baptist Church in Oxford. It isn't 1880 when your chapel gallery was closed because the people who sat up there were misbehaving. It isn't the 1970s and 80s when your church was growing in numbers steadily. It is 2018. 2018, when BMW begin to speak of moving their business outside the UK because of Brexit. When Oxford University is under fire because of the low proportion of black and minority ethnic students. when the Middle East continues to be in turmoil and war, when there are more people leaving their homes and seeking safety in other lands. These are the challenges of 2018, which God calls us to engage with. Being Wheatley United Reformed Church in 2018 means that we're challenged to build with the Lord, challenged to listen to the man of Nazareth speaking to us, challenged to open the doors of our church to the needs of the poor and the marginalised and the lost, challenged to see visions and dream dreams, challenged to seek the Spirit and to dance the story of the resurrection, challenged to be a place where there are songs of love and dreams of peace. Then whatever the world may throw at us, this place can still be a beacon of hope in a dark world. Let us keep a moment of silence for reflection.